Calls are already lining up for Terry Savage. You can call or text 312-981-7200. On the Wintrust Business Lunch, John Williams here. Pete Zimmerman is the producer. And there's Terry Savage, our Wednesday guest. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hello, John. I'm glad to hear lots of calls stacking up. Lots going on.
Yeah, let's just very quickly then touch on the Fed. Are you waiting to hear what happens today?
No, I don't play those games. That's tea leaves. That's just something to keep the markets interested. The real issue is out there, and the issue is the economy going to have a setback because of this COVID resurgence and the breakthrough cases, more than even the non-vaccine people, but the breakthrough cases in people who are vaccinated will engender fear. If the fear causes people to cancel reservations, which the airlines say is happening, restaurants say is happening, et cetera, then we'll have an economic slowdown and the Fed won't move.
That's an interesting observation and a non-medical one, I'll add, but simply that even the people who have been vaccinated who are getting breakthrough cases, that may be the most fearful thing to the market as opposed to people
exactly.
that don't get vaccinated.
That wasn't a medical opinion. That was just how the market works, and the market works on emotion. And it's one thing if you can sit, say, well, I feel safe. Well, sure, I'll wear a mask because somebody else might not be vaccinated. But the whole idea of the vaccine was to give the confidence to get the economy back in action. And if that confidence is destroyed, you'll see the impact in the economy and probably in the market.
At TerrySavage.com, you just dropped an article about the national debt. What did you say about that?
I said the term is MIGO numbers. That stands for My Eyes Glaze Over. I've a wonderful website, truthinaccounting.org. In fact, we've had Sheila Weinberg from truthinaccounting.org on our show a couple of times. And the numbers climb, they have a debt clock. The numbers climb so quickly that I couldn't even stop it to write any number down, which of course would be antiquated by the time the column got posted. But the national debt is now approaching $29 trillion. It does make your eyes glaze over. It's the sum total of all our deficits since our nation's history, our annual deficits. And there are some years we paid it down. And it doesn't seem to matter very much, except we're going to run up against that national debt ceiling, and that might be a political moment for Congress to either vote to extend it, which they typically do, or say, no, that's it, tough. If it becomes political that way, it could shut the government down. But basically, it's the IOUs, and as long as the rest of the world thinks that the United States is the best place to put money, they'll keep buying our IOUs, our Treasury bills, notes, and bonds. If they ever decide, hey, the U.S. is a mess for whatever reason, a financial mess, a political mess, a global, a war power mess. Whatever the world loses confidence in the U.S. dollar, interest rates will soar. That will really impact our budget deficit because we're at low rates now, so it's easy for them to raise new money and refinance maturing debt. So we're going to hear more about the national debt as we approach this debt ceiling, which is not a fixed date, but it's in October. And you will be wondering, tell me about the national debt. This column is up there for that reason.
Do you know what percentage of my tax dollar goes to the interest on the debt?
No, but it's the third largest category in the budget. And as I recall, although I'm not sure I put that in the column when doing my research, it's about 9% of our spending, of our tax income goes to interest on the national debt. But don't quote me on that, but I remember I did a lot of reading on the numbers of this. As I say, these numbers are so huge. And you think, well, really? What's the difference between the fact that it's gone from $21 trillion a year and a half ago to $28, $29 trillion now? I mean, what difference does that make in my life? I'm not going to pay it back. It doesn't make a difference. If it were your debt, if your credit card debt was growing at that rapid pace, you'd be in trouble. But the reason the government isn't in trouble is because they can, quote, print the money, which I explained in this column. It's not printing presses. It's the Fed going into that marketplace where the Treasury sells the IOUs and paying for them with newly created money, creating liquidity in the system. And as long as the government can print the money, but you can't to pay your credit card bills, the state can't to pay its pensions, we're going to have a clash one day.
Didn't we pay down the debt during the Clinton years?
Yes, we did. That was 1992, as I believe the last time we had a budget surplus.
Okay.
It's an interesting time.
Long time ago, it seems now.
Long time ago.
312-981-7200. Terry also wrote a little bit about college prep and payment, but let's get your calls in here as well. 312-981-7200. How can we help you with your financial question, your whatever it is, tax problem? 312-981-7200. Call or text WGN. Before we pick up some phone lines, 312-981-7200. Terry, what were you also saying in your latest column, Terry Savage, terrysavage.com? About
Let me correct
colleges.
Myself for 1 minute, John, before someone else does, because we have such smart listeners. The Clinton budget years were 1998 to 2001, the years in which we last had a budget surplus, 98 to 2001.
Fair enough. You were also talking about college loans or college costs. What was that about, Terry?
Oh, you know, I have a new column up at terrysavage.com, which is worth reading. A, if you have a child going off to college and loans, and you now have to start sending out the tuition checks, many people already have early in August. But B, if you have a high school student or grandchild, it talks about the kind of things you should be. It was just a news peg because I saw that this was the deadline for many schools to pay tuition, and parents are scrambling to find loans or find the extra money and how to take it out of your 529 account. That's all in the column. But it reminded me that lots of kids are going back to high school, and freshman, sophomore year is not too early to start setting up the conversation with your child about what might be affordable, about what his or her responsibilities are in terms of getting good grades and extracurricular activities to qualify for assistance beyond the federal student loans. So it's just a primer on college and student loans. And if you have a child or grandchild starting high school or a freshman or sophomore, I would like you to point that, you know, send that link to them.
312-981-7200. Let's get started. Mike, you go first. You're on WGN with Terry. What can we do for you, Mike?
Hey, Terry and John. Thanks for taking my call. I'm in a fortunate position where I could opt out of the child tax credit, so it doesn't impact my tax situation in the year. But I confirmed on the IRS.gov that I was unenrolled, but I did get an August payment that was partial for the amount of kids I have. So I wonder if you've heard anything on issues on the child tax credit being sent out when it's not supposed to?
Well, did you not want it to be sent out because you'd rather claim it as a credit or find out at your end how much credit
Correct.
You could claim? Or did you not want it sent out because you know you won't qualify this year?
I'd rather have it at the end of the year so it doesn't, I don't pay too much. So yeah, I was just hoping to have it all at the end of the year since I didn't need it.
There is a place at IRS.gov and just search child tax credit, where you can opt out, and those payments are going to keep coming every month. So you may not have been able to opt out of the first one because you didn't get your request processed in time, and it may not even impact the second or perhaps even the third one middle of next month. But you can go to IRS.gov, search child tax credit, and right there is a place to opt out. You can stop it for sure for the fourth.
So the thing is, I did unenroll, and even says unenrolled on my list on IRS.gov, and I did not get July, but they sent an August one. So that's the thing that's throwing me off. I did unenroll, and I still got it for August. You heard of any issues there?
They don't usually make mistakes like that, but because we're talking about the IRS. However, I would suggest you go back and reapply to unenroll and see what happens next month. It's not the end of the world. You've got the money. Just don't spend it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put in another account. Thanks, Terry.
Okay. Yeah, I hope that helps. Hey, John Williams, hope all is well. Would you please ask Terry Savage what fiat money means? I've been hearing that term lately. Thanks.
Oh, definition of fiat money. F-I-A-T. Money that's printed and circulates based on pure faith, as opposed to gold is not a fiat money. It fluctuates in price, but it stood the test of time over centuries. So the fiat money is money that is a piece of paper made legal by a government official declaration.
U.S. currency is fiat money.
The U.S. dollar is.
Yeah. There was a piece, I forget where I saw it this week, that talked about the mistake we made when President Nixon decided we would go off the gold standard.
Well, you know why that happened?
No.
Because we had printed a lot of dollars. And Charles de Gaulle was president of France. And you remember let me just back you up a little. Early in the 70s, we were fighting the Vietnam War. We were having, we were at the verge of the OPEC oil embargo. And so we were printing money to kind of cushion that blow. And we had just come off Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. So as a result, a lot of new money had been created. Now, you know, since back in the 30s, U.S. citizens could not own gold except for numismatic coins. However, the dollar was still convertible into gold. And Charles de Gaulle took a look at all those dollars being printed, gathered up all the dollars in the French treasury and said, "Excuse me, sir, but we would like to have the gold." Or however he said it in French. Je demande l'argent. And so the U.S. closed the gold window because it did not want to exchange its gold reserves in Fort Knox for all the gold, for all the dollars that we had printed. U.S. citizens couldn't do it at that point. But in fact, foreign central banks could. And that's why Nixon took us off the gold standard. And the price of gold then fluctuated in dollars because you could not redeem your dollar, your paper dollar, for gold. The dollar became fiat money.
Telephone A. Terry Savage at 312-981-7200. Let's take Dan's call next. You're on WGN. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. Thanks, Terry, for the opportunity. Question regarding Roth conversions. I'm 66, and I think I'm kind of late, but I saved my nest egg in my 401k, and I'll have problems in the future with draws with RMDs and Medicare payments and all that stuff. Is it worth it to do large Roth conversions now while the tax base is kind of lower?
If you have enough liquid money outside your current 401k or current traditional IRA, and you're willing to give up that liquidity to pay at the current tax rates, and it does not, well, I'm going to bite my tongue, does not look like Congress will get around to do anything about taxes before the end of the year, because as you know, earlier this spring, the president said anything we do about capital gains will be retroactive for the entire year 2021, but maybe they won't get around to that. So these may be the lowest ordinary income tax rates you'll see in your lifetime, maybe the lowest capital gains tax rates. And just remember, you're required to pay the taxes now on the conversion. Then you're not required to make withdrawals, okay? Your heirs still, under the new rules, have to let it grow tax-free 10 years after your death, but then must remove it and pay taxes. But basically, if you have liquidity outside your account, now, and by the way, you don't have to convert your entire IRA to a Roth. You can't convert. First, you'd have to roll your 401k if it's in a 401k. And then there are rules on how many rolls you can do in 1 year. So be careful about that. But if you have an IRA, you could convert to a Roth, pay the taxes, and not all of it or part of it, and let it grow tax-free for the rest of your life. No RMDs required.
We're going to do the news in a minute. I hope that helps for you, Dan. But just let me make sure that I'm clear on this, Terry. Are you saying that if I think taxes are going to go up, better to put money in a Roth IRA now and pay the tax now if I think taxes are going to be higher later, right?
Both for a new initial contribution to a retirement plan, give up the current deduction. If you're thinking about an IRA and you have earned income, put it in a Roth IRA. If you've got an old regular IRA and you're thinking of converting it, you don't plan to use the money inside the IRA to pay the taxes. Then you'll get a double whammy. Have money outside the IRA to pay the taxes. You'll roll all or part of your current IRA into a Roth where it remains tax-free ever after.
That's the calculation you're making. But if you think taxes are going to go down in the future, then you're going to regret having put the money in the Roth IRA and paying it now. So that's
And what are you smoking if you think taxes are going
down? I didn't say that. I'm just trying to be clear on how people assess the situation. 312-981-7200 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Williams here. Pete Zimmerman's producing to talk to Terry Savage, the syndicated columnist whose work you find at terrysavage.com. Terry, let's take some more of our text messages here. Hey, John, why can't I get a child tax credit since I'm still paying my Parent Plus loans for my three college grads, says Casey.
Oh, well, because, first of all, if your kids are college grads, you don't get a child tax credit for them. It's for children under 17.
Yeah, I guess it does. So the fact that you're paying on their loans doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, no. They may still be on the dole, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for you because Parent Plus loans carry the high original rates, and those rates get to warn people. It looks like, oh, what a wonderful thing the government's doing. It'll give our kids financial aid. And if you need more, get a Parent PLUS loan. Those come with high disbursement fees and higher rates, and you want to avoid those like the plague. Right now, I'd rather see you refinance your mortgage, you know, down around 3%, even, which I hate, take out a home equity loan because the loan rates could float up. But Parent PLUS loans are just not a good deal.
Can't you get a fixed-rate home equity loan? Boy, I do like the idea of tapping
the
equity.
No, that's called refinancing your mortgage or a second mortgage. But either you get a first mortgage. If you refinance your house and you take out money to pay for college, the interest on that portion that was not used for either the original purchase or to fix up your house, that little bit of interest is not deductible. But I wouldn't worry about that. I would rather see you do that to pay for college. Or, as I say in my current column up there, what I'd rather see you do is have a discussion with your kids about how much college you can afford.
I know.
So they're not applying to whatever it is, Harvard or whatever, Duke, their senior year and going, yay, I got in.
Yeah, but
it only costs $47,000.
But Terry, you know what? The University of Illinois is going to cost a lot more than families can reasonably be expected to have saved as well. And are you telling people don't send your kid to the U of I?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that you need to think about some families may be better off, I hate to say this, having their kids live at home for the first year or two and attend community college and transferring. I wouldn't want my own child or grandchild to miss out on the college experience. But if the college experience is going to put a ball and chain around your neck as parents or your child's neck so that they can't get started on their life, I think those are things you have to think about. Not, again, when acceptances start coming in next spring or when you're making applications this fall. I mean, just another 60 days before you'll be able to file October 1st, you'll be able to file FAFSA, the free application for student aid. And so the kids are going to list, oh, I want to go to X school and Y school, and Mom, if I get in there, wouldn't that be great? Well, no, maybe not. It wouldn't be great because we can't afford it.
Boy, you do have to get in front of that conversation because once that ball gets rolling, it is hard to stop it.
Hey, exactly.
Terry, I just got a direct deposit from the IRS. This is like that woman last week who got $18,000. Uh-huh. This person got $1,800, and they're not sure what it's for. Anything new coming that we should be aware of?
Well, is a member of your family in the VA? Did they use Veterans Medical Services? There are a lot of refunds. I've Googled and searched, and you can too, unexpected IRS deposits or refunds. If it wasn't a stimulus payment, and that's an odd amount, $1,400 would have been that. If it wasn't a refund that you were expecting from your income taxes, there are some. If it wasn't the refund of money you paid on unemployment taxes, you paid on unemployment benefits, the first $10,200, that's starting to come back. I noticed that the VA is paying out some money to people who were charged for services during the pandemic, and they're getting refunds. But I always say if it's an unexpected gift from the IRS, you can't get through to them now. But if you're going to question whether they'll want it back, then put it in savings and earn a little bit of interest on it.
And be ready.
Wait a year or two to see if they figure it out.
If
there's a code on each deposit from there, if the bank has that code, it might not show up on your online statement. Contact your bank and ask if it's coded as to what that reference number is or what it would apply to.
John Williams, my bright side, even though it's not Friday, it's a segment we do on Fridays, is hearing Terry Savage tell John Williams, what are you smoking? 630 said, my income will be going down a lot as I will only have my Social Security check versus my taxable income and salary that I get now. Even if taxes go up, I may be better off not converting to a Roth because
Absolutely. The
income will be lower.
I made an assumption there. You know, the old way of financial planning was always to assume that when you retired, your taxes would be lower, because all you would have is your pension or Social Security. What's happened is that with IRAs having grown, I mean, the market's at all-time highs, so if you were at all invested, you made some real money. Then the RMDs start at age 72 and a half, and at that point, you could get a boost into not only a higher tax bracket, but the amount of your other income could boost taxes on your Social Security, and it could boost taxes, it could boost the cost of your Medicare premium. If you really have, it depends, you know, on how much other income you have. So So this is why it's not a guessing game. It's always wise to sit down with a fiduciary financial planner. There's a link on terrysavage.com to WealthRamp. Find a financial planner. They charge fees only. They put your interests first. No hidden commissions. Or you can go to WealthRamp.com directly. I get nothing out of that, but I want people to be connected with people who will help them make these decisions without trying to sell them something. And that's what that WealthRamp.com does.
Terry, my husband and I still haven't received our federal tax refund. I checked the website. No info. I keep checking back. I guess that's all you can do, huh, Terry?
This is our weekly question.
Yep.
And the weekly answer, we're going to just tape this and replay it. You can do this, John, is they're busy. For years we said, don't make the IRS a tax-free loan. Adjust your withholding. And people said, but I want a refund in April. I love it. I love it so much. I spend it. I know it's coming. I use it for my summer vacation. I'm going to buy a new car. This year it's coming, but it's not coming right away. You'll get a 3% interest credit going back to mid-April, but the IRS is behind, and you're not alone.
And we are now out of time. That's Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. You can find out more at terrysavage.com, and we'll visit next Wednesday, Terry.
Thank you, John.
As always, it's 12:45 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Let's get you more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Natural gas bills are soaring for Chicago residents. A projection by Crane shows the average annual bill for city residents will come in around $1,350, which is $170 more than last year. That's a monthly payment of more than $112 compared to $90 over the last few years. In the first half of 2021, fuel costs have been responsible for 30% of the charges, with natural gas prices double what they were at this time last year. The Crane's projection is based on a People's Gas filing with state regulators. McDonald's is getting into the donut business. The Chicago-based company will release the new treat starting September 1st for a limited time. The fast food giant says the donuts will be coated with a sweet glaze that easily tears apart, making it perfect for sharing, they say. The donut will be available all day like the apple fritter, blueberry muffin, and cinnamon roll. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
The Business of Food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today in Decatur, Illinois, it is the Super Bowl of Agriculture, otherwise known as the Farm Progress Show.
The show dates are August 31, September 1 and 2. Gates open at 8 every day.
Show director Matt Youngman says this year has all of what people would expect, the newest tractors and combines and any other kind of machine used in the field production of food. And because COVID made last year's show virtual only, there's a lot of pent-up demand.
There is, and there's been 2 years' worth of progress that folks just haven't had the opportunity to stand next to and explore and kick tires and talk to experts about.
New this year is a special area for technology geeks.
We're adding an autonomy zone to the field demonstration, so you'll actually be able to see different autonomous platforms running in front of you, and that coupled with a sprayer drone and some other surprises that are yet to be announced should be pretty dynamic demonstration going on out there.
And thanks to Case IH, Lee Bryce will be there.
They've got a new relationship. He has a new single that just dropped called Farmer that is going to be performed live for the first time at the Farm Progress Show on Wednesday, right at show close.
It's a good idea to go online, get your tickets, see the map, and figure out how you're going to see everything because the place is huge.
It's a 4 million square foot exhibit area, so it's a pretty big walk to get through it all. You're going to want to have a plan to attack it. And we've been asked to do some contact tracing with the folks that are coming. So the easiest way to do that is to buy your tickets in advance. You can do that right there on the website at farmprogressshow.com.
Matt Youngman of Farm Progress. At the Chicago Board of Trade, a quiet day with wheat up about a penny now. Corn is unchanged at $5.63 a bushel, and soybeans are moving a little down about 8 cents now at $13.53. From the farm to your belly today is National Fajita Day. I think fajitas are the close second behind pizza as the near-perfect food. You've got protein, veggies, fruit, dairy, grains, all on one sizzling platter. It's also National Ice Cream Pie Day, and wash it all down with National Pinot Noir Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Jordan Karcher's our next guest, the founder and CEO. Grounds and Hounds Coffee Company is the company, and the website is that, groundsandhoundscoffee.com. Hi, Jordan. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well, and thank you for having me.
Tell me about your business. What do you do, and what does it have to do with hounds?
Yeah, so we are a coffee company first. We believe great coffee can fuel a greater purpose. So at our core, we use 20% of our profits to help fund animal rescue initiatives throughout the country. Started about 6 years, excuse me, 7 years ago now. Wow. 7 years ago with just a website out of my grad school spare bedroom and an idea to create some alternative funding for rescue groups. Unfortunately, a lot of people love coffee and a lot of people love dogs, and we've been able to make a big impact and have some fun along the way.
Why'd you pick that charity? Were you always a dog guy?
I have been, yeah. And, you know, one, I love dogs. I grew up with dogs, and rescuing dogs is certainly a personal passion. But at the same time, when I was looking at this business model, I was looking for ways to create a sustainable, non-traditional funding model for rescue groups in the nonprofit space. And there's just such a massive overlap between coffee lovers and dog lovers. You know, I looked and figured there's enough people in that segment who feel the same way about me, about dogs that I do, and that wake up and have a cup of coffee each morning with their pup before they go on a walk or head out to the office. We'd have a viable market and be able to scale this thing.
Yeah, there does seem to be a certain connection there now that you mention it. So what are you doing of late? Something's coming up, or are you in the midst of some fundraising campaign right now?
So we're always fundraising. We have about 600 rescue partners nationally. But one program we really love, and we're working locally with Anti-Cruelty Society in Chicago right now, is our Rescue Rose program. And in the Rescue Rose program, 100% of the profits of any purchase from that blend go to fund a specific initiative every 6 weeks. And right now, the program is to help fund the community food pantry program through Anti-Cruelty, which is an amazing initiative where the rescue organization is providing food to families who are in financial difficulty, so they're able to feed their pets and keep their pets in the home. And, you know, obviously, from our standpoint, we never want to see a dog or cat or any animal end up in a shelter in the first place. But particularly if a family loves that pet and wants to keep the pet, it should never be a decision of, you know, do we have to get rid of this animal to feed it or to feed ourselves? And so this program puts food, you know, right on the table for these pups and helps support families when they need it most.
I'm talking to Jordan Karcher, the founder and CEO at Grounds and Hounds Coffee. Loves coffee, loves dogs. Puts them both together. I'm reading now on Friday, August 20th, from 10 a.m. to noon at the Dollar Tree Store's parking lot, 209 East 103rd in Chicago. The Anti-Cruel Society is giving away 5,000 pounds of cat and dog food through its pop-up pet food pantry in the Roseland community while supplies last. You have anything to do with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So to date, the program has generated enough funding for about 19,000 meals, and we still have 2 weeks left in our program, and our target is 30,000 meals. So every bag of coffee you buy of Rescue Roast right now is providing 7 days of meals for a pet through this program. So we are certainly providing support and funding specifically for this type of initiative on Friday.
Where do I get your coffee?
The easiest way is certainly our website, so groundsandhoundscoffee.com, as you had mentioned. And anyone listening on WGN can receive 20% off with the code WGN. So if you want to try it out, you know, please check us out and grab a bag, support Anti-Cruelty Society, and check out a lot of the other stuff. We just launched Pumpkin Spice, which is a new one for us, but hopefully a popular one this fall.
Gosh, why would that be popular in the fall around Halloween time? Groundsandhoundscoffee.com, groundsandhoundscoffee.com. And promo code WGN, I save 20%?
Yep, exactly. Site-wide, anything you buy, you get 20% off with that code.
Do I find you in stores as well, or is it all online?
You can find us in stores as well. We have a retail locator page on our site, so we have a lot of distribution throughout the country and throughout the Midwest. So the easiest method is if you're looking for whether or not it's stocked in your area, check out the retail locator, see if there's someone nearby. And if not, we ship quick. Typically, we can get the free shipping at $50 or more. So hopefully you receive it in 3 to 4 days, fresh coffee. Don't even have to leave the house.
Good on you, Jordan Karcher. It sounds like a great idea. I'm kind of intrigued by the coffee, too, so I'm in. Groundsandhoundscoffee.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Jordan Karcher. I think he was enjoying a cup of coffee there.